Yearly Bible Reading Comment for day number 109 for April the 19th, 1 Kings 12, 29 to 15, chapter 12, and beginning at verse 29, we see the Jeroboam's destruction of religious unity of the nation, beginning back in 25, verse 25, Shechem in Mount Ephraim. And Jeroboam said in verse 26, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David." Verse 27, "If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, to Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." So here's what the king Jeroboam, that wicked, sinful man, did in verse 28. He took counsel, first of all, and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, idolatry, paganism, and lying against the Lord God of Israel." Verse 29, he put one in Bethel, the other he put in Dan, the northern and the southern tip of the borders of Israel. And this thing became a sin for the people who went to worship before the one even under Dan. In verse 31, he made an house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. That's the second sin. First, he had the gods. Second, he made non-Levites priests. And third, in verse 32, Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, in the 15th day of the month, like to the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, and so sacrificed to the calves. And the eighth month, and he devised this feast in his own heart, in verse 33. Not the seventh month, which was God's feast, but the eighth month. And so the sin of Jeroboam to get his people worshiping idols rather than the true God. Then, 1 Kings chapter 13, prophecy against Jeroboam's false altar. There came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, where one of these heathen, wicked, idolatrous, golden gods were. These gods, it said, were the ones that took them out of Israel. And said to Jeroboam, who stood by the altar to burn incense, he crossed the altar, and the word of the Lord, and said, "O altar, altar, behold, a child shall be born, the house of David, Josiah by name, and on thee, at his altar, shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee." That was a sign from the Lord, and this is what happened later on, as we'll see. Then, verse 4, the sign from God upon Jeroboam. And he laid hold of his hand, that is, the prophet did, and he put forth his hand upon the altar, saying, "Lay hold on him," and his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again. And so Jeroboam, trying to lay hold upon the prophet who pronounced this curse against his altar, he had his hand dried up. The altar was rent, the ashes poured out. The king answered in verse 6, "The man of God, entreat, please, get my hand restored again. I cannot go on like this." And so in verse 7, "Come home with me," he said. After he restored his hand again, it was just as it was before. "Home and refresh thyself, I'll give thee a reward." And the man of God, verse 8, said, "If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go into thee. Neither shall I eat bread nor drink water in this place. It was charged me," verse 9, "by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, drink no water, nor turn again to the same way that thou camest." So he returned. And then the disobedience and death of this man of God, verse 11, there was an old prophet in Bethel, and they told him about this man, and he said, "Oh, where'd he go?" And he went after him. He saddled his ass in verse 13. They found him. He said, "Art thou the man of God that came from Judah?" In verse 14, he said, "Oh, yes. Come eat bread with me." And he said in verse 16, "Oh, I can't. I can't eat bread or drink water in this place. It was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water in this place, nor go again by the same way that thou camest." And then verse 8, the prophet lied. He said, "I am a prophet, as thou art, and an angel spake unto me." And this man should not have heard and listened to this man. "An angel said unto me, come back to my house and eat and drink." But he lied unto him. It says right in verse 18, he went back, he drank water, and the word of the Lord came to the prophet who lied, first of all, said, "For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast kept back, hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and ate bread and drank water in the place, thy carcass shall not come to the sepulchre of thy fathers." And as he saddled his ass and left, a lion met him in the way and slew him, in verse 24. And this is because of his disobedience, in verse 26. The man of God knew that this would come to pass, and so the prophet took up the carcass, verse 29, of the man of God, and brought him back and mourned him, buried him. Notice no cremation in verse 29, but there was burial in the Old Testament of God's people. And when I'm dying and lay my bones, he told his sons, in the same sepulcher. He used the same old sepulcher that he was going to use for himself. And that's what was done. And Jeroboam persists in evil, verse 33. He turned not from his evil way, even after the curse upon that altar, even after his hand was dried up, he kept his iniquity nonetheless. 1 Kings now, chapter 14, prophecy against Jeroboam, partial fulfillment. Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said, go and disguise thyself and get to glory that I would be king over 10 tribes. And take some bread and food and cracknels and loaves and ask him what will happen to my son. Ahijah couldn't see in verse 4. He was blind. His spiritual eyesight was all right. Told Ahijah, though, in verse 5, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask of thee for her son, for he's sick. And Ahijah heard the sound of her feet in verse 6. Come, thou wife of Jeroboam, why feignest thyself to be another? For I sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go and tell Jeroboam, I exalted thee from the people. I made thee prince over my people Israel. I rent the kingdom away from the house of David, verse 8. And you haven't kept my commandments. You've done evil above that which were before thee, in verse 9. You've gone aside and made these golden images and calves. I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, in verse 10. I'll cut off all the males. And he that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, verse 11. He that dies in the field, the fowls of the air shall eat. The Lord has spoken it. And the child, verse 12, shall die. And all Israel shall mourn for him. They'll bury him again, burial, not cremation. He is the only one of Jeroboam that will come to the grave. The rest of them, the dogs and the fowls, will eat up. He'll root up Israel out of the good land, in verse 15. He'll spread them beyond the river because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. He shall give Israel up because the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin. And Jeroboam's wife arose, and as soon as she went into the town, her child died, verse 17. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him. And this was Ahijah the prophet's partial fulfillment of the curse against Jeroboam for his altars. Then the death of Jeroboam, in verse 19, the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred, they're written in the Chronicles of Israel. He reigned 22 years and slept with his father, and Nadab, his son, reigned then. Then verse 21, Judah's apostasy under Rehoboam. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. He was 41 years old. He began to reign 17 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Ammonitis. A sad thing. He used one of these filthy, wicked, vile, cursed heathen nations for a wife. And that's why Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 22, they followed and provoked the Lord to jealousy and followed wrong Sodomites. And Sodomites were in the land, and he worshipped images and groves on every high hill. Sodomites were in the land in verse 24, and they did according to the abominations of every nation that God cast out from before them. And then, verse 25, the invasion of Shishak. The Shishak, king of Egypt, came to Jerusalem. He took away the shields of gold and the treasure, in verse 26. God was judging Judah because of the sin of Rehoboam. He made instead brazen shields instead of gold, in verse 27. And the rest of the acts of Rehoboam are listed elsewhere. The death of Rehoboam, in verse 31. He slept with his fathers. They buried him again, burial, not cremation. And his mother's name was Naaman Ammonitis. And Abijam, his son, reigned in his stead. And then 1 Kings 15, the ascension of Abijam. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam came Abijam over Judah. 3 years he reigned in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Micah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the ways and the sins of his father, verse 3, he had done before him. His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. And nevertheless, for David's sake, the lamp would not go out, and he kept his line free there. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, in verse 5, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Certainly, God remembered that. That was great sin. There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. The rest of the acts of Abijam are written. And he died in verse 8 and slept with his fathers. They buried him again, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. And more of this in our comment tomorrow. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 110 for April the 20th, 1 Kings 15, 16 through 18, 8. In 1 Kings chapter 15, we see in verse 9 the ascension of Asa. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. He reigned that 41 years together. and he was listed there. He did that which was right, Asa did, in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 11, as David his father had done. Notice verse 12, he took away the Sodomites out of the land, removed all the idols his father had made, his wicked father, and he made Micah, his mother, to be removed from her being queen because she'd made an idol in a grove. He even judged his own mother. Praise the Lord for that. When we take a stand for the Word of God, even more than our own parents, our own loved ones, whom we love deeply in the Lord, but still, God must come first. He destroyed her idol and burned it in the brook Kidron. Verse 14, but the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. Wish he had also taken away the high places. And he thought, he brought in the things which his father had dedicated and the things which he had dedicated into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels. Then the war with Baasha and Asa's league with Syria. There's war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah. He might not suffer any to go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. He sort of helped him as a pincers movement and cutting him off in his supplies. And Asa took all the silver and gold, verse 18, that were in the treasure of the house of the Lord, the treasure of the king's house, and delivered them into the hand of his servants. King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the king of Tabrimon, the son of Zion, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus. With all the gold of the Lord, he took this gold and gave it to heathen Syria, and said, there's a league between me and thee, and between my father and thy father. Verse 19, behold, I have sent thee a present of silver and gold. Come and break thy league with Baasha, king of Jerusalem, or rather of Israel, that he may depart from me. So Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa. He hearkened because of money, because of the gold and the silver. Sent captains of the host, and he smote the cities of Israel. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard thereof, he left the building of Ramah and dwelt at Tirzah. And King Asa made a proclamation, and they took away the stones of Ramah, and so on. Then the death of Asa and his illness, verse 23, of Asa are written in other places in Chronicles. And he was old, and he was diseased in his feet. And he slept with his fathers, and his son Jehoshaphat reigned in his stead, verse 24. Then verse 25, ascension of Nadab over Israel, the northern kingdom, the ten tribes. And Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah. And he reigned over Israel 2 years. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. The sin of the terrible calf worship. Then rebellion and ascension of Baasha over Israel, verse 27. Baasha, the son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar, conspired against him, and Baasha smote him at Gibbethon. And he killed Nadab, and he became the king. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, did Baasha slay him and reigned in his stead. It came to pass, when he reigned, he smote all the house of Jeroboam, and left not any that breathed in Jeroboam's house, till he had destroyed them, according to the saying spoken by Ahijah the Shilonite, again because of the sins of Jeroboam which he sinned, in verse 30. And then war between Asa, king of Judah, and Baasha, king of Israel. There was war between them in verse 32. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, began Baasha the son of Ahijah to reign over all Israel. And 24 years he reigned. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of Jeroboam, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin, with a calf worship, in verse 34. And then 1 Kings 16, prophecy against Baasha and his death. The word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha. God always has his messengers who are faithful to him, who tell the truth, even though it's against the king of all the land, and the high up places, and the rulers. God's word must prevail. Verse 2, for as much as I exalted thee out of the dust, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam, and made my people Israel to sin, to provoke me to anger, behold, I'll take away the posterity of Baasha and his house, just like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. In the diet of Baasha in the city shall the dogs eat, verse 4, and in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. And this is what God would do. He would judge him. And he spoke by the hand of the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani. And the word of the Lord came against Baasha, and he killed him, just like the house of Jeroboam, because he killed him. That is, he killed Jeroboam and his family, therefore Baasha would have the same treatment. Then verse 8, ascension of Elah over Israel. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign over Israel in Tirzah 2 years. And his servant Zimri conspired against him, and drinking himself drunk in the house as he was, a drunkard. And Zimri went in and smote him and killed him, and reigned in his stead. And Zimri's reign over Israel, verse 11, He slew all the house of Baasha. He left not one male among them, neither his kinsfolk nor his friends. And Zimri destroyed Baasha as God had predicted by Jehu the prophet in verse 12. For the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, by which they sinned, provoking the Lord God to anger. So it's like sharks, they eat each other. And these wicked men killed off one another. And then verse 18, Zimri took burnt the king's house over him with fire, and he died, and the sins which he sinned, doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And the treason and the rest of the acts are written later. Then Tibni and Omri, rival kings of Israel, and the death of Tibni, verse 21. The kingdom was divided into two parts. Tibni made one half, and the other half followed Omri. And finally Tibni died, and Omri reigned. The reign of Omri over Israel, he makes Samaria the capital, verse 23. He bought the hill of Samaria of Shemer for 2 talents of silver. That's the third capital of the northern kingdom. And Omri wrought evil, verse 25, in the eyes of the Lord, and did worse than all that were before him. He walked in all the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, all these calf worshippers and so on, and made no difference. And then the ascension of Ahab over Israel. He marries Jezebel, verse 28. Omri slept with his fathers. He was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his stead. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab began reigning in Israel. And he was the son of Omri. He reigned over Samaria and Israel 22 years. Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, verse 30, above all that were before him. It came to pass, if it had been a light thing to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, verse 31, he took Jezebel to wife, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. He was not only a calf worshipper, but a Baal worshipper. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria, verse 32. And Ahab made a grove and did more to provoke the Lord God to anger of all the kings of Israel that were before him. Terrible thing indeed. And then, at chapter 17 of 1 Kings, the ministry of Elijah, his prediction of 3 years of drought. Elijah the Tishbite was the inhabitants of Gilead. He said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And then as soon as Elijah made those words to the king, Ahab, in verse 2, he was fed at Kirith. He hid himself. Get thee hence, and turn thyself eastward. Hide thyself by Brook Kirith that is before Jordan. I'll command the ravens to feed thee there, verse 4. He did according to the word of the Lord, in verse 5. And the ravens came and brought flesh and bread in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. 3 years, no rain. Then Elijah fed at Zarephath. In verse 8, the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, to go to Zarephath, and I've commanded a widow there to feed thee. And this, of course, is what is done. She goes to Zarephath, and this widow takes a little bit of her meal and shares it with him. Praise the Lord for sharing people. The widow woman gave him some of the handful of meal in the barrel and a little cruse of oil. That's all she had left in verse 12. First, she said, let me make a little cake for my son. I'm going to die. And so she gave some to Elijah. And the barrel of meal, verse 16, wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And then, verse 17, God's unfailing, continuous supply. The widow has a son that dies, and Elijah raises the widow's son, in verse 17. He fell sick, and he died, and the widow said, why did you do this? To call my sin to remembrance, to slay my son. Verse 19, he said, give me your son. He took him, and he stretched himself upon him, in verse 21. He prayed, Lord, let this child's soul come into him again. And he raised him up, and he delivered him unto his mother, and praise the Lord for that. We'll take a little bit more of this in our comments next time. 1 Kings chapter 18 coming up. Daily Bible reading comment for day number 111 for April 21st. 1 Kings 18:9 through 20:26. In 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah goes to meet Ahab. Many days passed, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, after the 3 years of drought and no rain. He says, go show thyself to Ahab. I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Now notice in verse 3, a believer out of touch with God. Ahab called Obadiah, who was governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Well, if he feared the Lord so greatly, what was he doing as a henchman of this wicked, vile, vicious Ahab and the spouse of Ahab, Jezebel, the Baal worshipper? For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets, verse 4 of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid 50 by 50 in a cave with bread and water. So here was a great believer, a compromiser, a new evangelical, a pussyfooter, a middle-of-the-road fence straddler is what Obadiah was. And many are patterning their lives after this man and trying to appease the king who is wicked. Billy Graham is one of these appeasers of modernism and apostasy all throughout his ministry, especially in recent decades. Ahab said to Obadiah in verse 5, "Go into the land and see if you can find the fountains of water and brooks, and save the horses and mules alive." Verse 5, he was caring more for the beasts than he was for the people. So they divided the land between them in verse 6, and Ahab took one way, half of it, and Obadiah went the other way. He was equal things with Ahab because he was the one who would search out the water with the king himself. And Obadiah found Elijah when he was in the way in verse 7. He said, "Behold, Elijah is here." He said, "What have I sinned that I should deliver into the hand of Ahab to slay me?" Verse 9. "And as the Lord thy God liveth," in verse 10, "there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee." So Obadiah, when he met Elijah, was saying, I'm glad I found you. But Elijah said, "Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here," in verse 11. But Obadiah wouldn't do it. He said, "Certainly, if I do that, the Spirit of the Lord shall carry you out, and when I tell Ahab, he'll slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth." And in verse 13, he repeats the story about hiding the 100 prophets in a cave, tooting his own horn, blowing his own horn, as it were. Verse 14, Elijah said, verse 15, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand," he stands before God. Every preacher, every prophet, every evangelist who's called of God, even in this day, who preachers and evangelists especially, there are no prophets in this day, they stand before God. They must be judged by God. And God will judge righteously. We should not be fearing the face of man. He said, "I will surely show myself unto him today." So Obadiah went to Ahab and told him, and Ahab went out to meet Elijah. Now Elijah meets Ahab, the prophet's challenge in verse 17. When Ahab came to Elijah, he said, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And Elijah answered that wicked Ahab, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and hast followed Balaam." And he said, "Now gather to Carmel, Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent to all the children of Israel, and they gathered these prophets together, these terrible apostate prophets of Baal, 400 plus 450, 850 prophets, false prophets. And Elijah got the people together in Mount Carmel in verse 21 and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him." Quit mixing things up. And this is the way we ought to face reality today. Fundamentalism and modernism, apostasy. They're different, they're distinct, they're separate, and they ought to separate from one the other. And they should not have any of these in-betweenites, the middle-of-the-road new evangelicals that take on the one hand their hands with the fundamentalists and the other hand with the modernists and apostates. This is what God says. If God be God, follow him alone. If Baal, then follow him. And Elijah said in verse 22, "I alone remain the prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. So the God that answered by fire, after the two bullocks were cut in two, and water was put on, and wood was put on this altar, and no fire underneath it, the one who answers by fire, verse 24, let him be God. And all the people said, it is well spoken. So here in verse 25, Jehovah versus Baal. The Baalites went first, ye are many. Call on your God. So they called on Baal, verse 26, from morning till noon, saying, Baal, hear us. And Elijah mocked them. He said, cry aloud, verse 27. He is a god. Either he's talking or pursuing or on a journey or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. They cried aloud in verse 28, and they cut themselves with knives till the blood gushed out until the time of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no god. Baal didn't answer by fire. So Elijah said, come here near unto me, verse 30. And the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar that was broken down. He took 12 stones, one for each of the sons of Jacob, and with the stones he built the altar. He made the trench, and he contained 2 measures of seed. That was the size of the trench. He put the wood in order. He filled 4 barrels with water, 4 barrels, and poured it on the wood sacrifice, the burnt sacrifice on the wood, contrary to all nature. And the second time, and the third time, and the water ran around the trench. And then he cried, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, verse 36, let it be known that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their back, their heart, back again, in verse 37. And then in verse 38, in answer to prayer, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood with the stones and the dust and licked up the water even that was in the trench. A miracle? Yes. And the people fell on their faces when they saw that in verse 39. They said, the Lord, He is the God, the Lord is the God. And Elijah said unto them, that is unto the people, verse 40, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. They took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah told Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is sound of abundance of rain. In verse 42, Elijah on Carmel. Elijah went up to Mount Carmel, he cast himself down, he prayed, his face between his knees, told his servant to go and look toward the sea. And he said, there's nothing. And did it seven times. And finally, the servant said, verse 44, there's a little cloud. There riseth a cloud out of the sea like a man's hand, small. And he said, go down and say, or up rather, and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass, in the meanwhile, the heaven was black with clouds and wind. There was a great rain, in verse 45. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, chapter 19, Jehovah's tender care of his overwrought prophet. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain the prophets with the sword. Jezebel sent a message to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me also, and more, if not thy life is as one of them, these prophets of Baal, by tomorrow, about this time. A death threat. He arose and went for his life. He came to Beersheba, and he requested for himself under a juniper tree, verse 4, that he might die. As he lay, he slept under the juniper tree. An angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And he ate a cake baking in the coals. Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Verse 7. Then Elijah at Horeb. He went in Mount Horeb in verse 8. 40 days and 40 nights. And to Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. And the word of the Lord came unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? He said, oh, I'm only the one left. And they seek my life to take it away. I'm the only one that's left for thee. But then God revealed himself, not in the wind, not in an earthquake, but in a still small voice in verse 12. And what doest thou here, Elijah? He said, well, I'm the only one left, and they seek my life to take it away also. He said, go, return to Damascus, the Lord said in verse 15. Anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, Jehu to be king over Israel, and Elisha the prophet in your place. And he that escapeth by the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and then the ones escape from him shall Elisha slay. And then God told Elijah, verse 18, I have yet 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. He wasn't all alone. He had others. And then the call of Elisha. He departed and found Elisha, verse 19, plowing, and he called him, and Elisha arose and went after Elijah, and he ministered unto him. And then, chapter 20, Ahab's first Syrian campaign. Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all the host together in verse 1. The king of Israel answered, my lord, verse 4, I am thine and all that I have. And he tried to make amends to Ben-Hadad and to bow to him. And he said, thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold, thy wives and thy children. But that wasn't enough. He wanted more. And then verse 11, the king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. Wait till the battle is over. Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions. In verse 12 and following, in God's promise of victory, he said, I will deliver it into thine hand this day. And Ahab's victory over the Syrians in verse 15. He numbered the young men of the princes, the provinces. And as Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in verse 16, the young men charged and attacked. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. The prophet warns Ahab in verse 22 and said, go, strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. And then we'll take up Ahab's second Syrian campaign in our comment tomorrow. Yearly Bible reading comment. For day number 112, for April 22nd, 1 Kings 20, 27 through 22, 39. In 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 22, we continue in 23, Ahab's second Syrian campaign. And the servants of the king of Syria, in verse 23, said unto him, their gods are the gods of the hills, therefore they were stronger than we. And so they planned a strategy regarding this, which, of course, was false. The Lord God of heaven and earth is the God of hills. He's the God of valleys. And if he is behind someone, they will be successful. And so they fought against Israel. The children of Israel numbered and were all present in verse 27. Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. A tremendous over surplus, an abundance of Syrians versus Israelites as the battle waged. In verse 28, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is a God of hills, but he is not the God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. They pitched over against one another 7 days, verse 29. And the seventh day the battle was joined. The children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. The rest fled to Aphek. And behold, we have heard that the kings of Israel are merciful kings. Let's put on sackcloth, in verse 31, they said. So they girded themselves with sackcloth. Verse 34, Ben-Hadad said unto him, the cities which my father took from thy father I will restore. And so on. And so Ahab sent him away, in verse 34. He did not slay him. And verse 35, Ahab sinned in sparing Ben-Hadad. Here is the wicked king of Syria. A certain man of the sons of the prophets, verse 35, said unto his neighbor, in the word of the Lord, smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him. And then he said, because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. And a lion slew him. He found another man. He said, smite me, verse 37, I pray thee. And the man smote him, so that in smiting him he wounded him. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way. He disguised himself, and he bawled out the king, as we would say in our parlance. In verse 42, he said, thus saith the Lord, this prophet spoke from God, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased and came to Samaria, in verse 43. Now, 1 Kings chapter 21, Ahab covets Naboth's vineyard. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard in Jezreel, hard by the place of and the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake to Naboth, said, give me the vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it's near to my house. I will give thee a better vineyard, or I will give you its worth in money. Verse 2. But verse 3, Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. He would not do it. Ahab was displeased. He was heavy because of this word. But Jezebel, his wife, verse 5, came and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad? He lay down on his bed in verse 4, turned away his face. He wouldn't eat any bread. He was pouting about this. What a wicked man Ahab was, and how wicked Jezebel was. And she said, why are you pouting? Why are you not eating? Why is your spirit so sad? Verse 5. Verse 6, because I spake to Naboth the Jezreelite, saying, give me thy vineyard, and he wouldn't do it. Jezebel said, dost not thou govern the kingdom of Israel? Verse 7, here's the autocratic power of a king, any power, 100% government, whether that power is Nazism or communism or Ahabism or whatever it is, here's the power of government. Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So verse 8, she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with a seal, sent the letters unto the elders, unto the nobles. She wrote letters saying, proclaim a fast, verse 9. Set Naboth on high among the people, set two sons of Belial before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, verse 10, and carry him out and stone him, that he may die. And that's exactly what happened. And they stoned him with stones, in verse 13. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. It came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, she said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard. Here's murder and thievery after preceding it by covetousness. Terrible how sin builds up. Naboth is not alive but dead. And Ahab heard it, and he took possession of it. Then in verse 17, Elijah's announcement of Ahab's doom. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Verse 17. Here's the prophet unto Ahab. saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, verse 18. King of Israel, which is in Samaria, behold, he's in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to possess it. Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed, and also taken possession? Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Naboth said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? Yes, God, through his prophets, finds God's enemies. And Elijah answered Ahab, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. O, deliver us from selling ourselves to work evil in God's sight, not in man's sight, but evil is in the sight of the Lord. I will bring evil upon thee, verse 21, and cut off from Ahab all the males, and so on. In verse 22, a judgment, just like the house of Baasha, as the son of Ahijah was judged, so of Jezebel also spake the Lord in verse 23, The dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. In the dieth of Ahab, in the city the dogs will eat. In the field the fowls of the air shall eat, in verse 24. There was none like unto Ahab, verse 25, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. One of the women's livers of that day, where she wore the pants and drove the horses, and she was the one in charge of that home. Wicked Baal worshiper, and Jezebel stirred him up. And he did very abominably, in verse 26, in following idols, according to all the things, so did the Amorites, just like the Amorites, as they did, whom the Lord cast out from the children of Israel. So Ahab's repentance, and it gains him a respite, and verse 27, when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, See how Ahab humbleth himself before me, verse 29. Because he humbleth himself, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in the days of his son. And so God's mercy even upon wicked Ahab and his grace. 1 Kings chapter 22, the 3 years peace between Syria and Israel. In verse 1, that's what they had, 3 years of peace. And then verse 2, Ahab, aided by Jehoshaphat, makes his third Syrian campaign. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down, and Jehoshaphat said, I am as thou art, verse 4, and my people as thy people. He compromised by having an alliance with this wicked king Ahab. Then the lying prophets of Ahab, in verse 6, they lied and said, Oh, you're going to have great success. But the king of Judah said, Jehoshaphat, is there any man who's a prophet of the Lord, in verse 8, that'll tell the truth? Oh, but he always prophesies evil concerning me, not good. Verse 8 says, Micaiah is his name. So Micaiah's true prophecy in verse 13 and following, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. And that's what it is. Not whether it's good or bad, but what the Lord says. He said, I saw all Israel, verse 17, scattered upon the hills as sheep that have no shepherd. And these have no master. Let them return every man to his house. In other words, Ahab's going to die. And there came forth a lying spirit in these false prophets of Ahab. And that's why they lied. It's told in verse 20 as to why the lying spirits were there in verse 22. And so Micaiah's true prophecy, but for his truth in verse 27, put this fellow in prison. Put him on the bread of affliction and the water of affliction till I come in peace. Well, the battle of Ramoth-Gilead and the defeat and death of Ahab in verse 29. They went out to battle, and as prediction was, a man drew a broad adventure in verse 34 and smote the king of Israel between the joints of his harness, and he died. And one washed down the chariot and licked up his blood in verse 38. A terrible, horrible death as predicted by God. More of this in our comments tomorrow. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 113 for April the 23rd. 1 Kings 22:40 through 2 Kings 4:1. In 1 Kings 22 and verse 40, the ascension of Azariah over Israel. And then in verse 41, Ahab slept with his fathers. Azariah, his son, reigned in his stead. And then Jehoshaphat comes to be the king over Judah in verse 41. Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. He was 35 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And he gives his mother's name in verse 43. He walked in all the ways of Asa his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away. He had that secret sin of the high places, and for the people offered and burned incense yet in the high places, which was a compromise. So he was a compromiser, as we'll see later. And Jehoshaphat made peace, verse 44, with the king of Israel. The rest of the acts are written in the Chronicles, verse 46, the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land, which was an excellent thing to do. These perverted homosexuals, whether lesbians or female, male homosexuals, were taken away and removed. Would to God that the Sodomites would be removed out of the United States of America as a terrible sin against the family, against God, and against nature itself. And then in verse 50, the death of Jehoshaphat and ascension of Jehoram over Judah. Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried. Notice, not cremated, but buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. Then going back in verse 51, the character of Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, he began to reign over Israel and Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. And this man Ahaziah did evil in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the way of his father, in the way of his mother, in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And he served Baal, verse 53, and worshipped him and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel, according to all that his father had done. Terrible, terrible. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, was just as evil as his father and his mother. So this ends the book of 1 Kings. Now, the second book of Kings. Here the Bible reading comment, 2 Kings, chapter 1. Rebellion of Moab and the illness of Ahaziah, the king of Israel. And Moab rebelled in verse 1 after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in the upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of the flies, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. And so he fell down, he was lame. Elijah's message to Ahaziah and Elijah's deliverance in verse 3. The angel of the Lord told Elijah the Tishbite to rise and go to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, that is, of the messengers of Ahaziah. Say unto them, is that not because there's not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Why didn't you ask me? That's what he's saying. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, verse 4, thou shalt not come down from the bed in which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And the messengers turned back, and he said unto them, why are ye turned back? And they said, there came up a man to meet us. And he said, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there's not a god in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, this deity of Baal, the god of the flies? Therefore thou shalt not come down from the bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said, what manner of man was this? In verse 7. And verse 8, he was an hairy man, they told him, girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And Ahaziah said, it is Elijah, the Tishbite. He had heard of Elijah, the powerful prophet of God, from his father Ahab and his mother Jezebel, I'm certain, and even probably had known of him himself. Then the king sent in unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. In verse 9. He went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill, and he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. Elijah answered unto the captain of 50, verse 10, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven, consume thee and thy 50. And of course, that's what happened. And again he sent, Ahaziah sent to Elijah to take him, in verse 11. Another captain of 50, he said, man of God, come down quickly. Elijah answered and said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. The fire came down and consumed them. Verse 12. Verse 13, he sent another captain of 50, a third captain. And he came down, and this man fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. And he said, behold, there came down fire from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s. With their 50s, let my life be precious in thy sight. Verse 15, the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. In verse 16, he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not that there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off the bed in which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. And that's exactly what happened. verse 17, the death of Ahaziah, the accession of Jehoram, king over Jerusalem. Jehoram reigned in his stead, and he died. Ahaziah died, and he reigned, Jehoram did, in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now, the rest of the acts of Ahaziah are written in Chronicles. Then 2 Kings chapter 2, the translation of Elijah. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah unto heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. Elisha said, oh no, I'm going to go with you. So he went to Bethel. And verse 3, the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said, don't you know that the Lord will take away your master from your head today? He said, yes, I know. Hold your peace. Elijah said in verse 4 to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But Elisha said, oh no, I'm going to go with you. He went to Jericho. The sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said, don't you know that the Lord will take away your master from your head today? He said, yes, I know. Hold your peace. Elijah said, tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, I'm going to go with you. And so the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets, in verse 7, stood to view afar off as they stood by the Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, in verse 8, and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they departed, and he went over. And he said unto Elijah said unto Elisha in verse 9, ask what I shall do to thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, give me a double portion of thy spirit. May it be upon me. He said, it's a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from thee, verse 10, it shall be unto you. And so they parted the waters, and in verse 11, it came to pass that they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Then the Spirit who was upon Elijah comes upon Elisha in verse 12. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He saw him no more. Took of his old clothes, in his own clothes rather, and he rent them in pieces, Elisha did. He took up also the mantle of Elijah, verse 13, that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Here's Elisha's faith to use the power in verse 14. He took the mantle, he smote the waters, and they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. The sons of the prophets which were to view it at Jericho, when they saw it, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. And he went forth to meet him. Then the theological knowledge of the theological students and their total lack of faith in verse 15. They sent 50 strong men to seek the master, Elijah, to see where he went. And they went and urged, they went 3 days they sought him. They didn't find him. They did not believe that God took him. Did not I say unto you, Elijah said, go not. Then Elisha's second miracle in verse 19. The men of the city said, there was no water. The ground is barren. And he said, bring me a new cruse, put salt therein. And he said, I have healed these waters. And he did, Elisha's second miracle. And there was no more death on the barren land. So the waters were healed. Then irreverence is cursed in verse 23. He went up from Bethel, and there were some little children that mocked him and said, go up, thou bald head. They were disrespectful to their elders. And he turned back and cursed them. And 2 she-bears came out and devoured the 42 children for this blasphemy against the servant of God. And then, chapter 3 of 2 Kings, ascension of Jehoram over Israel. He was a wicked king. In verse 2, he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord. And he was the son of Ahab. And he just, but not like his father or like his mother, he put away the image of Baal. But he cleaved into the sins of Jeroboam, verse 3, these golden calves. And then, verse 4, Moab rebels against Israel. And he said, Jehoshaphat went down and said, I am as thou art. My people is thy people, and my horses are thy horses. And this was a terrible compromise that when Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, said to the king of Moab and to the king of Israel that he was in cahoots with him, as it were, and in a partnership. And then Elisha reproves the alliance of Jehoshaphat with Jehoram in verse 10. The king of Israel said, alas, you called these kings together. But Jehoshaphat said, isn't there a prophet of the Lord? And here's Elisha. And he poured water on the hands of Elijah. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel inquired of him. And Elisha said, what have I to do with thee? Verse 13, get thee to the prophets of thy father. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, verse 14, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. Now bring me a minstrel, And he said that there's a promise of water and a victory in verse 16. We'll take this up in our comment tomorrow. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 114 for April the 24th, 2 Kings 4:2 through 6:15. In 2 Kings chapter 3, we see Elisha's promise of water and of victory. It rained. It was filled with water, the area there, for cattle and for themselves and for the beasts. And the promise that he will deliver the Moabites, verse 18, into Israel's hand, and smite every fenced city in verse 19. Then the defeat of the Moabites in verse 21 to the end of the chapter. The Moabites rose up early, the sun shone on the water in verse 22. The Moabites thought the water was as red as blood and said, certainly the kings have been smitten to the spoil. As soon as they came to the spoil, verse 24, the Israelites smote the Moabites and the Moabites fled before them and they beat down the cities in verse 25 and a great victory was wrought. And the king of Moab took his eldest son, look at the paganism in verse 27, that should have reigned in his stead, and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. Terrible, sinful, satanic practice. Then the 2 Kings 4, the increase of the widow's oil. Lots of stories now from Elisha. Certainly a double portion of Elijah's spirit had fallen upon Elisha. And one of the sons of the wives of the prophets, or rather one of the wives of the sons of the prophets, who was a widow, their husband is dead, and the creditor had come to take away her sons to be bondmen. And Elisha simply said, what do you have in your house? She has a pot of oil. He said in verse 3, borrow some vessels, empty vessels, and she kept pouring from the oil to the vessels until all the vessels were gone, and the oil just kept coming in a miraculous fashion. Verse 6, there's not a vessel more, and then the oil stayed. He said, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live, thou and thy children, from the rest. Tremendous miracle again. Then, verse 8, the great woman of Shunem and her reward. Shunem, there was a Shunammite woman there, and this man of God came by the Shunammite's house. Periodically, in verse 10, she and her husband made a little chamber to dwell in with a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And Elisha went there and was at home in that room when he visited that section of the country. And she said she had a request in verse 14. She had no child. Her husband was old. And he told her about this time, according to the time of life, I shall embrace a son, verse 16. And so this is what happened. And so she bare a son, verse 17. Miraculous gift of a son. And then, verse 18, Elisha restores life to the son of the Shunammite woman. The child was grown, and he was out there and more or less had a heat stroke or sunstroke. Verse 19, my head, out in the field, he called to his father, and he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God in that little room, that little prophet's chamber, shut the door upon him. And she ran for the man of God. And he said, well, go ahead, I'll send my servant, Gehazi. He can put my staff on him. She said, well, I'm not going to leave you. You come yourself. And she said in verse 20, did I desire a son or a child? Lay my staff upon the face of the child, he told Gehazi in verse 29. But still the child was dead. In verse 32, when they arrived, Elisha found this boy dead. And he put his mouth upon his mouth, verse 34, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands about his hands, stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house and sneezed seven times, verse 35, and the child was raised from the dead. Another miracle from this man, Elisha, the prophet of God. And then verse 38, Elisha heals the noxious pottage. They came to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and they needed a great feast, and so set a great pot and seethed pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out and gathered herbs and wild gourds and shred them and put them in the pottage. And one of the men of God said, oh, there's death in the pot, verse 40. It was poison. And he said, bring some meal in. He cast it in, and there was no harm in the pot. Again, Elisha healed this pottage that was poisonous pottage and noxious pottage. And then in verse 42, Elisha feeds 100 men miraculously. He was there and with 20 loaves of barley in verse 42, give unto the people that they may eat. What should I serve for this 100 men? And he said, they shall eat thereof. Give the people And he went before them, and they did eat, and left thereof, according to the word of the Lord. The miraculous multiplication, like the Lord Jesus Christ, almost, of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes in the book of the Gospel of John and other Gospels as well in the New Testament. Then chapter 5 of 2 Kings, the healing of Naaman. Naaman, verse 1, was the captain, the host of Syria, a great man, honorable, mighty in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone by companies and brought away captive out of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And the little maid, in verse 3, said, "Oh, I would God that my Lord were in Samaria with the prophet there. He would recover him of his leprosy." And so the king of Samaria sent a great amount of money, 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of silver, 10 changes of raiment, and went to the king of Israel. Verse 6, the king of Israel didn't know what to do with him. He's not God to take care of leprosy. Am I God to kill and to make alive? Verse 7. And so Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, and he said, "Let him come to me. He shall know there's a prophet in Israel." In verse 8. So Naaman came, this leper, in verse 9. Elisha sent a messenger. He didn't even go himself. He said, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Naaman was wroth. He was angry. He said, "How about our own rivers, Abana and Pharphar, rivers of Damascus, verse 12? Aren't they better than Israel? And why can't I wash in them?" Well, the servants said, "If a prophet had bid you to do some great thing, you'd have done it. Now go ahead and dip." And he dipped. And that word dip is baptizo in the Septuagint Greek Old Testament. He was baptized, as it were, 7 times. He dipped himself, verse 14, in the Jordan 7 times. And his flesh was as a little child. He was clean. He says, "Behold, now I know that there's no God in all the earth." And he said, "Take a blessing of thy servant." But Elisha said, "No, I'm not going to get any of your money. You keep your money to yourself." And then Naaman said, "I pray that you'll pardon me," verse 18, "when I go into the house of Rimmon to worship there with my master. Pardon me if I bow myself to this idol temple." Well, he was a compromiser of that. He shouldn't have bowed no matter what. Then Gehazi's sin and his penalty. Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, in verse 20, wanted to get some money and some changes of garments. In verse 22, he lied. He said, "My master sent me." He went after the Naaman, this rich man. And he said, "I want 2 changes of garments and a talent of silver." So he took them back, and he got them. 2 servants, in fact, carried him back, carried all of these things back home. And Elisha had kept up on this. The Lord had informed him. "And where have you gone?" "Oh, I didn't go anywhere." "Oh, yes. Is this a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants?" Verse 26. "Therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and to thy seed forever." He was a leper as white as snow. And then 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha recovers the lost axe. The sons of the prophets were building a bigger house, and they all got their beams, and they went down to build a bigger house. And in verse 2, they were building it, and as they were felling a beam, in verse 5, the axe head fell into the water, and it was borrowed. And they told Elisha. He said, "Where is it?" And he cast a stick into the water, and the iron did swim. Another miracle of Elisha, this man of God, which a tremendous man of God, certainly a double portion of Elijah's spirit was upon him. And then in verse 8 of 2 Kings 6, Elisha reveals Ben-Hadad's plans. Syria was warring against Israel, and the plans were known. He said, "Who's the traitor here?" But one of the servants said in verse 12, "Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in that bedchamber." Again, a miracle by God's grace of Elisha. More of this tomorrow. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 115 for April 25th, 2 Kings 6:16 through 9:18. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 115 for April the 25th, 2 Kings 6:16 through 9:18. In 2 Kings chapter 6, and especially at verse 13 and following, we see Elisha at Dothan. He said, "Go and spy out where he is," that is the king of Syria. He wanted to destroy Elisha because he was telling the plans of the Syrian army, because the Lord gave him that insight. And the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth. And when he was at Dothan, they, of course, sent horses and chariots, verse 14, and a great host that came by night and compassed the city about. And the man of God's servant said, when he saw the host compassing about the city, horses and chariots, he said, "Oh, alas, my master, what shall we do, and how shall we do?" Verse 16, but Elisha said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." In verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes," that is, this servant, Gehazi, I guess his name was, "open his eyes, that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. God's going to deliver his servant Elisha from this terrible calamity and all the troops, and he delivers us many times today as well. Elisha then, verse 18, leads the blinded Syrians to Samaria. First thing Elisha did is to pray to the Lord that he would smite this people, all these army men and people in the host, with blindness. And the Lord answered the prayer of Elisha. Another miracle. And they had blindness, and he led them to Samaria, right into the hands of the king of Israel, this whole host of the Syrian army. And then in verse 20 he said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria in verse 20. And then, of course, the king of Israel said, "Should I smite them? Shall I smite them?" to Elisha. And he said, "Thou shalt not smite them." Verse 22. "Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them." In other words, take care of your prisoners of war. Don't kill them. And this is exactly what they did. He prepared great provision, verse 23, for this enemy army. And the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel, it says. Then, verse 24, the Syrian siege of Samaria. Ben-Hadad, after this, gathered all his host and went up again and besieged Samaria. There was a great famine in Samaria, verse 25. And an ass's head, which was unclean, sold for 80 pieces of silver, 80 pieces of silver, the fourth part of a calf of doves down for 5 pieces of silver. People were buying this terrible food for such a high price because of famine, because they had surrounded and besieged the whole city of Samaria. And the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall. A woman cried, "Help me, O Lord, my king." And the two women had agreed, "Give me thy son that we may eat him today." Verse 28, cannibalism was there. In verse 29, "So we boiled my son and did eat him." And the next day, she didn't eat her son. And so, "Please help us." This was the plea. Two cannibals, two mothers. What a terrible siege this was. And then, verse 32, the king's messenger of vengeance and the untroubled prophet. But Elisha sat in his house, verse 32, and the elders sat with him. The king sent a man from before him to tell him that he was going to be killed, apparently. But before this messenger came, he said to the elders, "See ye how this son of a murderer," that is, Ben-Hadad, "the son of a murderer, hath sent to take away mine head. Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him?" And so the escape from the evil messenger by Elisha. Then in 2 Kings chapter 7, Elisha's promise of food and Jehovah's terror upon the Syrians. Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Tomorrow about this time there shall be a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." This was going to be a miracle again. God was going to give food to his people in Samaria, the Israelitish northern kingdom. But then a lord, one of these officials, verse 2, said, "Oh, if the Lord had opened windows in heaven, this couldn't be." In other words, he doubted it. And he said, Elisha said to him, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof." He was going to be judged. And then 4 leprous men, in verse 3, were sitting at the gate and said, "Why do we sit here and die? Let's go out to the Syrians. We can only die there. We're going to die here anyway of famine." So they went out to the Syrian camp. And in verse 6, the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses and of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians, and come out to us." And so they rose and fled in the twilight, in verse 7. They left their tents, their horses, their asses, their camp, all the food. And the lepers found this, in verse 8. And they found all this silver and gold and raiment. And then verse 9, they said, "We do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. We've got to tell the king's household." So they came and told the porter of the city how the Syrians had fled and had left all their food and all their horses and all the spoil. And so come and send and see, verse 13 is what the king of Israel said. And so he told a company, just a few of them, to go and see if this was true. And behold, they found that it was true. And so Elisha's promise was fulfilled in verse 16. A measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel. They had food in abundance because of God's miracle in scaring the Syrians off. And the king appointed the Lord, on whose hand he leaned, to have the charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him, this same man that doubted God's provision, trod upon him in the gate, and he died, just as the man of God, Elisha, had said. Then, the 2 Kings chapter 8, Elisha predicts 7 years of famine. And Elisha went and spoke unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, take your son and go, because there's going to be a famine 7 years. And she arose and sojourned in the land of the Philistines for these 7 years. And then Jehoram restores the Shunammite's land. Came to pass at the 7 years' end, the woman returned out of the land of Philistines, and her land was gone. And so he helped to restore that which was hers in verse 6, rightfully, so that she would not be stealed and stolen against, and have stealing taking place. Then in verse 7, Elisha predicts Hazael's reign over Syria. Elisha came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad was sick, and they sent unto Elisha, and the king said unto Hazael, take a present and go to Elisha and see if I'm going to be healed of my sickness. And Elisha said in verse 10, he shall surely die. But when Hazael went back to his king, Ben-Hadad, he said, you're going to be all right, you see. He lied. And actually, Hazael said, why weepest my lord? And so on. And he answered, this is why Elisha was weeping, because Hazael was going to be the new king. And he had slain with a sword and dashed the children up and ripped up their women with child. Hazael was just as mean and ugly as Ben-Hadad. But Elisha knew that he was going to be the next king. And so when he told the message to Ben-Hadad that he was going to recover, then he took a thick cloth, it says in verse 15, that as Hazael did, dipped it in water, spread it over his face, that he died. He murdered him, as this indicates here. Then in verse 16, Jehoram, co-king with his father Jehoshaphat over Judah, the fifth year of Joram, the king of son of Ahab, the king of Israel, being king then in Judah, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, began to reign. 32 years old rather was he when he began to reign. He reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and as the house of Ahab did, for his wife was the daughter of Ahab. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord kept the line so that it would not destroy David's line. Then the revolt of Edom, in verse 20, he revolted and went away. The revolt of Libna is talked about in verse 22, and the death of Jehoram in verse 24, and Ahaziah his son reigned in his stead. And then verse 25, Ahaziah's ascension over Judah. In the 12th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, did Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, begin to reign. He was 22 years old, and that's when he began to reign. His mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri, king of Israel. He walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, verse 27, and did evil in the sight of the Lord, as did the house of Ahab, and he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. Then Ahaziah joins Jehoram in defense of Ramoth-Gilead in verse 28. And then 29, Ahaziah visits Jehoram in Jezreel. Then 2 Kings chapter 9, we see Jehu anointed king over Israel at Ramoth-Gilead. In 2 Kings chapter 9, we see that Elisha was commissioned to anoint Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. He took a box of oil, verse 3, and anointed him, and his mission in verse 7 was to smite the house of Ahab, thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. And he's got to cut off Ahab's house in verse 8, and that's exactly what he did. And Jehu proclaimed king by the army of Israel in verse 11, and Jehu is king. Then Jehu slays Jehoram in verse 14, and Jehoram lay there, for Ahaziah, king of Judah, was come down to see Jehoram. And there's a watchman that came, and he saw that Jehu was driving. He was fast in his chariot riding, and we'll take this up in detail again in our comment tomorrow. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 116 for April 26th, 2 Kings 9:19 through 12:9. In 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 11, Jehu is proclaimed king. And then verses 14 and following, Jehu slays Jehoram, the regular king of Israel. He comes riding furiously. He rode in a chariot in verse 16, and Joram lay there, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, was come down to see Joram. He should never have gone down to that wicked king Joram, but no separation was there. And there stood a watchman, and he said, I see a company, and is it in peace, they asked. And verse 18, I don't know whether it's in peace. And Jehu said, the watchman asked Jehu, is it peace? And he said, what hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. And the watchman told, saying, the messenger came to them, but he cometh not again. And then he said, I was second on horseback to see what have you done, and are you coming in peace? And the watchman told him, saying that the driving was the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously. Verse 20. A joke for preacher drivers that are furious drivers, but nonetheless they knew Jehu's driving. And he came, and Joram saw Jehu, verse 22, and asked, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace? As long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many. Here was the house of Ahab going to be judged. And Jehu drew a bow with full strength, in verse 24, and smote Jehoram between his arms. And the arms, and the arrow rather, went out at his heart. And he sunk down in his chariot. And so he judged. Surely I've yesterday and seen that the blood of Naboth, the blood of his sons, saith the Lord, and I will requite thee in this plat. And so he took back the portion of Naboth that he had stolen for murder of this man, innocent man, Naboth's vineyard. You remember, he had killed Naboth, and Jezebel had killed Naboth also by plotting. And then verse 27, Ahaziah is slain. Here's the king of Judah. And Ahaziah, when he saw this, fled, but Jehu followed him and he smote him, and he died. And so he got killed as well because he was there in Israel rather than staying in Judah where he belonged. Then in verse 30, the slaying of Jezebel. When Jehu was come to Jezebel, she heard about it. She was at Jezreel at the time, and she painted her face and tied her head, put something on her head, looked out of the window, and who is on my side, he said in verse 32. And two or three eunuchs looked out, and he said, throw her down, and they threw her down. And her blood was sprinkled on the wall, and the horses trod her underfoot. Sad death indeed. Here was this wicked, sinful, Baal-worshipping, monstrous woman that was a Jezebel, a type of evil and a type of false teaching in Old and New Testaments alike. And so she met her death, and the dogs did eat the flesh of Jezebel. There's nothing left of her practically after she fell down. A cursed woman, but she was the daughter of a king, therefore she was to be buried in verse 34. And so they buried her, and not cremated, but buried again. And then 2 Kings chapter 10, judgment on the house of Ahab. Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria, and so they brought them up. And these 70 sons, Jehu took care of as far as slaying in verse 6. 70 persons were there in verse 7, and slew 70 persons, put their heads in baskets, and sent them to Jezreel. And this is what they did with Ahab's sons. They brought the heads of the king's sons, and very cruel, very terrible, but apparently the judgment had to be complete, God's judgment against Ahab and his house, and so this is what they did. Verse 10, know now that there shall fall unto the earth nothing of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spake concerning the house of Ahab, for the Lord hath done that which he spake by his servant Elijah. So Jehu, verse 11, slew all that remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, all his great men and his kinfolks and his priests, and he left him none remaining. God's judgments are complete. He had promised to judge Ahab and his seed, and he did. Terrible, but yet a fulfillment of God's righteous judgment against sin. And then verse 13, the princes of Judah slain. Jehu met with the brethren of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, who are ye? They said, we're brethren of Ahaziah, and so on. And verse 14, take them alive. And they took them alive and slew them in the pit at the shearing house, even 240 men. Neither left he any of them. And so all of the brethren and sons of Ahaziah he slew as well. Then in verse 15, Jehu spares Jehonadab. He departed and he said to him, is thine heart right, as my heart is with thy heart? And Jehonadab answered, it is. And so he spared Jehonadab. He was the son of Rechab as he came to meet him. And verse 18, he said, Ahab served Baal little, but Jehu shall serve him much. So Jehu exterminates Baal worship in Israel, verse 19. He asked all the people who were Baal worshippers to come to a feast in subtlety that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal. And so he gathered them all together and search and look in verse 23, that there be none of the servants of the Lord, just worshipers of Baal only. And so only Baal worshipers were there in this house of Baal. And they brought them forth, the images, verse 26, and burned them. They break down the image of Baal. They slew all of these Baal worshipers, and they made an end of this type of Baal worship. Howbeit, verse 29, even though Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel, the sins of Nebat continued, and the golden calves at Bethel and Dan, verse 29, were still there. Then four generations is promised to Jehu in verse 30. And if you do what's right, I'll give you the children of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. But Jehu took no heed, verse 31 says, to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. A sad thing indeed. Then the power of Israel is diminished. Verse 32, in those days the Lord began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them in all the coasts of Israel. Sin brings God's judgment. Then the death of Jehu, an accession of Jehoahaz over Israel, verse 34. They buried him in verse 35, not cremated, but buried him in Samaria. And Jehoahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. And he reigned in Israel, in Samaria, 28 years. Then 2 Kings chapter 11, the seed royal of Judah is destroyed, except Joash. Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead. She arose, verse 1, and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehoshaphat, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons. So little Joash was preserved. And Athaliah reigned 6 years in verse 3. And Joash becomes king over Judah. In the seventh year, Jehoiada, the priest, sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds and captains and so on of fifties and the guard, captains of the guard, and commanded them, saying, let's guard Joash. A third part on watch here, and a third part shall be at the gate, and a third part some other place else in verses 5 and 6. And let's keep this man, Joash, this young king to be. And the guard stood, every man, verse 11, with his weapons in his hand round about the king. They protected the king, and we should protect King Jesus, his reputation, his person, and his work, and take our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 12, and he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony. Here's Joash, the testimony, meaning the word of God. And they made him king and anointed him and clapped their hands and said, God save the king. And the execution of Athaliah, this wicked woman, verse 13. Athaliah heard about it. She cried and rent her clothes, verse 14. Treason, treason. But Jehoiada took her and killed her with a sword. And there she was slain, even at the horns of the altar. They took her out without the ranges and killed her there. She tried to have the sanctuary. And then revival through Jehoiada, the priest, verse 17. Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king that they should be the Lord's people. And they took the house of Baal and broke it down, verse 18. They slew Mattan, the priest of Baal, and appointed officers over the house of the Lord. And verse 19, they took rulers and captains, and they had a real revival. And they slew Athaliah with the sword beside the king's house. 7 years old was Joash when he began to reign. Then, chapter 12, 2 Kings chapter 12, the reign of Jehoash, or Joash, in the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign. And Jehoash did that which was right, verse 2, in the sight of the Lord, and all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed there. Still the compromise. Then the faithless priests, in verse 4, all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring it to the house of the Lord, bring it, and put it into the box. And the priest consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. And so they didn't do what they were supposed to. They were supposed to repair the house of the Lord. But more of this in our comment tomorrow. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 117 for April 27th, 2 Kings 12:10 through 15:19. In 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse 9, we see that the temple is repaired, and Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bored a hole in the lid, and beside the altar, the right side of it, and as the people came into the house of the Lord, they put the money there and brought it into the house of the Lord. This was the collection that they took. And they took the money and found out how much there was and gave it into the hands of those that did the work, in verse 11, that were repairing the temple, and the carpenters and the builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord. In verse 12, the masons and hewers of stone to buy timber and hewed stone to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord. But they didn't make bowls for silver of silver, snuffers, basins, and trumpets, any vessels of gold. They didn't do that much in verse 13 with the money, but they repaired the house of the Lord in verse 14. And then, verse 17, the Syrians take Gath, and Jehoash ransoms Jerusalem by despoiling the temple. Ahaziel, king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it, and the house of the Lord's treasures, all the gold that was found in the treasures of the house of the Lord and in the king's house, he sent it to Haziel, king of Syria, and he went away from Jerusalem. He bought off the king of Syria, that is Jehoash, king of Judah, did, by taking the golden things of the house of God. What a terrible way to buy off this king, but that's what he did. And then verse 19, the death of Joash, ascension of Amaziah. There was a conspiracy in verse 20. The servants arose, and sometimes there is a conspiracy among those you think love you, and he slew Joash. They slew Joash in the house of Milo, which goeth down to Silla. And Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. Then chapter 13 of 2 Kings, the reign of Jehoahaz over Israel. We keep coming back to Israel, and then Judah, and then Israel, and Judah, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, throughout the book of 2 Kings. In the 20th year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, began to reign in Israel. He reigned 17 years in verse 1. Then in verse 2 we see that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and the anger of the Lord, verse 3, was kindled against Israel. And he delivered them into the hand of Haziel, king of Syria, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Haziel, all their days. So Israel was not long for God's blessings. Then verse 4, Jehoahaz repents, but suffers the grove in Samaria, permits that. Jehoahaz besought the Lord, and the Lord hearkened unto him, for he saw the oppression of Israel because of Syria. The Lord gave Israel a Savior in verse 5. They went out from under the hand of the Syrians. Nevertheless, verse 6, even after the Savior, they departed not from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin. And it's a sad thing that they besought the Lord, but they didn't depart from sin. We've got to depart from sin and beseech the Lord, both. Then verse 8, the death of Jehoahaz, and verse 9 says, Joash, his son, reigned in his stead. Then the ascension of Jehoash over Israel. In the 37th year of Joash, son of the king of Judah, began Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, to reign over Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 16 years. So there's similar names also in the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Joash is the 15th king of the Israel's northern kingdom, as Amaziah was the 10th king of Judah. I've tabulated the numbers there as we go through, and perhaps we can make mention of this as we move to other kings as well. So Jehoash over Israel in verse 10, the 37th year of Joash, and notice in verse 11, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, a wicked king, Jehoash. In the death of Jehoash in verse 12, and he was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel, verse 13. Buried, not cremated again. Then the illness of Elisha and the visit of Joash. Elisha, verse 14, was fallen sick of the sickness wherewith he died. And Joash, king of Israel, came to him and wept over him. He said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." The same expression used of Elijah, 2 Kings 2:12. And Elisha said, "Take bow and arrow and shoot out the window, and then take the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and smite the Assyrians in Aphek until I have consumed them." And then after that, verse 18, the scant faith of Joash. And Elisha said, "Take the arrows," and he took them. Verse 18, he said, "Smite upon the ground." He only smote three times and stayed. The man of God was wroth. "You should have smitten five or six times. Then you would have smitten Syria till you had consumed it. But now they'll smite but thrice." Assyria will be smitten just thrice, three times. So the death of Elisha in verse 20. Elisha died, and they buried him again. No cremation, they buried him. As they were burying him, someone else cast a man into the sepulcher of Elisha, and when the man was let down, touched the bones of Elisha, he revived, verse 21, and stood up on his feet. The final miracle of Elisha was after his death, the resurrection and the raising from the dead, I should say, at least the reviving of this man who was dead. And then verse 23, "The Lord was gracious unto them and had compassion on them and had respect unto them because of the covenant with Abraham," his covenant. He is a covenant-keeping God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who would not destroy them, neither cast them from his presence as yet. So Haziel, king of Syria, died, and Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his stead in verse 24. And three times did Joash beat Ben-Hadad as God had predicted. Then 2 Kings chapter 14, the reign of Amaziah over Judah. The second year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. And he was the 10th king of Judah in the kingdoms of the south. He was 25 years old, verse 2, when he began to reign. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name is given. And verse 3 says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. A good king, yet not like David, his father. He did according to all the things as Joash, his father, had done. Howbeit, verse 4, the high places were not yet taken away. As yet the people sacrificed burnt incense in the high places, which is the beginning of idolatry. It's unfortunate, but in verse 6, the children of the murderers he slew not. The children he slew not, because he said very clearly, the fathers shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children be put to death for the fathers. But every man shall be put to death for his own sin. In verse 6, that's the principle of God. We die because we're sinners in and of ourselves. We don't blame our mothers, our fathers, or our children. Then verse 8, the war between Israel and Judah. Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, and they got together, and there was a battle. Judah, verse 12, was put to the worse before Israel. They fled every man to their tents. And Jehoash, king of Israel, verse 13, came to Beth-Shemesh and to Jerusalem and broke down the wall of Jerusalem. And he took all the gold, verse 14, and the silver and all the vessels found in the house of God. The northern kingdom stole the Lord's things out of his house. Then, verse 16, Jehoash is dead, and Jeroboam succeeds Jehoash, king of Israel, Jeroboam the second. He was buried in verse 16, and Jeroboam his son reigned in his stead. Then the death of Amaziah, verse 17, he died, and he was also buried in Jerusalem, verse 20. Then Azariah succeeds Amaziah as king of Judah. Then the 11th king of Judah, Azariah was his name. He was 16 years old, when he was made king, and he restored the part of Eleth. And then the reign of Jeroboam the second over Israel in verse 23. The 15th year of Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam the second, that is, the son of Joash, began to reign in Samaria. That's the 16th king of the northern kingdom. He reigned 41 years. Verse 24 says he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. And he restored the coast of Israel. And it talks about a quotation which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai. So Jonah and Amos were written about this same time of 2 Kings. They were prophets at this time. The Lord saw the affliction of Israel, verse 26. It was very bitter. There was not any shut up or any left nor any helper for Israel. The Lord said that he would not blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, verse 27, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. And the death of Jeroboam the second, ascension of Zechariah, king over Israel in verse 28. Zechariah his son reigned in verse 29. Then chapter 15 of 2 Kings, the reign of Azariah or Uzziah over Judah. Azariah or Uzziah, he's the 11th king of Judah. And 16 years old was he when he began to reign. He reigned 52 years. His mother's name is given in verse 2. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord in verse 3, so that the high places were not removed again. The people sacrificed and burnt incense there. And the Lord smote the king, so he was a leper until the day of his death, in verse 5. Then the death of Azariah, or Uzziah, sent from Jotham, in verse 6. Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him, in verse 7. And then Zechariah reigned over over Israel, and Jotham reigned over Judah, in verse 7 and 9. But Zechariah was evil, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then the death of Zechariah, in verse 10, and Shalom is then king over Israel, the 18th king. And then the reign of Shalom and his death in verse 13. They had a conspiracy against him in verse 15 also. Then Menahem over Israel began to reign in verse 16. He's the 19th king of Israel. And he did that which was evil also in the sight of the Lord in verse 18. And so we'll take this up in our comment tomorrow. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 118 for April the 28th. 2 Kings 15:20 through 18:5. In 2 Kings 15 and verse 19, Pul, the king of Assyria, has an invasion of Israel, and Menahem exacted the money of Israel, verse 20, of all the mighty men of wealth, 50 shekels of silver apiece, to appease the king of Assyria. Then the death of Menahem, in verse 21, the ascension of Pekahiah over Israel, that's his son. Then the death of Pekahiah, the ascension of Pekah over Israel, in verse 23, he did eat that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 24, Pekahiah was the 20th king of the northern kingdom, as Menahem was the 19th, and Pekah was the 21st king, and Pekahiah did evil in the Lord's sight, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, a captain of his, conspired against him and smote him in Samaria, so he killed Pekahiah, took over in that fashion. And the reign of Pekah over Israel and his death, in verse 27, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 28, notice, it's always in the sight of the Lord that evil is being done. Oh, listen, people and men and women may think what you're doing is great, but what does God think about it? And then verse 30, the 22nd king of the northern Israel kingdom, Hoshea, the son of Elah, made a conspiracy against Pekah, and smote him and slew him and reigned in his stead. And then the reign of Jotham over Judah. We come back now to Judah. The 12th king of the southern two tribes is Jotham in verse 32. Second year of Pekah, he began to reign. He was the son of Uzziah, or Uzziah. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. Verse 33, he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Given, who was the daughter of Zadok. And verse 34, Jotham did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, as according to all that his father Uzziah had done. But in verse 35 again, the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burnt incense still in those high places. These were the little foxes that are going to spoil the vines, the idolatry, the compromise. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him, not cremated him, but buried him again, verse 38. And Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. He was the 13th king of the southern kingdom. And then 2 Kings chapter 16, the reign of Ahaz over Judah. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, son of Jotham, began to reign in Judah. He was 20 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem and did that, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. Sad thing that Ahaz was a wicked king of Judah, but he walked in the way of the kings of Israel and made his son pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen. How terrible this is when we live like the heathen live around us. It was during this section of 2 Kings chapter 16 that Isaiah prophesied, and Micah also wrote along these same lines, and at this time. Then, verse 5, the invasion of Judah by Syria and Israel. Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, came and besieged Ahaz, and verse 7, Ahaz seeks the assistance of Assyria. He sent messengers to Tilgath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am thy servant. And Ahaz, notice in verse 8, this wicked king Ahaz of Judah, the 13th king, took the silver and the gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. Then verse 9, the Assyrians take Damascus. The king of Assyria hearkened unto him. The king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it and carried the people of it captive to Seir, to Kir, rather, and slew Rezin. So this worked. And then verse 11, Urijah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus to Urijah the priest and made it against King Ahaz came from Damascus. This was a brazen altar, should not have any altar other than the altar of God. And the king commanded Urijah the priest in verse 15, upon the great altar burn the morning sacrifice and the evening meat offering and the king's burnt sacrifice and so on. And then verse 17, and King Ahaz cut off the borders of the bases and removed the laver from off them. Here he dismantled part of the temple and took down the sea from off the brazen oxen that were under it and put it upon a pavement of stones. And the death of Ahaz and the ascension of Hezekiah in verse 19. Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his stead after he died, and they buried him, verse 20, not cremated him, but buried him. The Jewish means of burial, as is the Christian's means of burial as well, in the Scriptures. Now, Hezekiah is going to be the 14th king of Judah. But before we go back to Hezekiah, notice in 2 Kings 17, the reign of Hoshea over Israel, and we'll take this whole chapter dealing with Israel. The 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign. He was the 22nd king of the northern kingdom of Israel. And he reigned 9 years and did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, in verse 20. But not as the kings of Israel were before him. And Israel becomes tributary to Assyria, in verse 3. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up and took him, and then Israel, the ten tribes, were carried away into Assyria. Verse 4. Notice this terrible tragedy. Year by year, the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. This is Hoshea. This king of Israel is bound in prison. And Assyria came up and besieged Samaria, that is the capital of the northern kingdom, 3 years. And in the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria. And then, verse 7, the sins for which Israel was carried into captivity. It was because the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, verse 7. That's why God took them into captivity, the northern tribes into Assyria. And they feared other gods, in verse 7. They walked in the statutes of the heathen, verse 8. And they did secretly, verse 9, the things that were not right in the sight of the Lord and against their God. They built high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fence city. They set up images and groves in every high hill, verse 10. They burned incense in all high places, verse 11, as did the heathen. And verse 12, they served idols. In verse 13, the Lord testified against them, against Israel and Judah, by the prophets and by all the seers, saying, "Turn ye from your evil ways." God warned them. God warns us too. "Keep my commandments and my statutes, and I sent to you by my servants the prophets." But verse 14, notwithstanding, ye would not hear. Ye would not hear. Ye did not have a will to hear. You were like the neck of your fathers. You didn't believe the Lord their God. That's what the fathers did. They rejected his statutes in verse 15. They followed vanity, went after the heathen round about them, concerning which I had charged them that they should not be like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, in verse 16. Caused their sons and daughters, verse 70, to pass through the fire. Used divination and enchantments, devil worship, necromancy, all the spiritism, demon worship. Therefore, verse 18, the Lord was very angry with Israel, removed them out of his sight, but left the tribe of Judah only. But verse 19, Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but they walked in the statutes of Israel. The Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of the spoilers, verse 20. And so he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, king, and Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord. Then the king of Assyria repeoples the cities of Israel, verse 24. He brought men from Babylon, and they feared the Lord, or feared not the Lord, rather, in verse 25. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them and slew some of them. These people who had come in to repeople the land of Israel, God slew through the lions. Well, the king of Assyria was angry about that and wondering. In verse 27, he brought a priest in and said, "Well, teach them the God of the land, the manner of the God of the land." And so they brought a priest, but every nation, verse 29, that was in that land, repeopled, brought gods of their own, and high places of the Samaritans were used. And they feared the Lord, in verse 32, but made themselves priests of the lowest of the people to serve the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods. They did try to work on both, but they couldn't do that, in verse 33. It's impossible to serve God and sin and Satan and the mammon and this world. "You shall not fear other gods," verse 35, God said. "But the Lord, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and stretched out arm, him shall ye fear. And to him shall ye do service and sacrifice, and him shall ye worship," verse 36 says. "Neither shall ye fear other gods." So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, their children and their children's children. And then 2 Kings chapter 18, we'll take this up in our comment tomorrow. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 119 for April the 29th. 2 Kings 18, 6 through 20. 16. In 2 Kings 18, we see Hezekiah's beginning reign over Judah. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, in verse 3. And then revival under Hezekiah, verse 4. He removed the high places, break down the images, and cut down the groves, and break in pieces even the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel had burnt incense to it. They called this brazen serpent of Moses, lifting it up in the wilderness, as you remember, Nehushtan. And he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, verse 6, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. The Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, in verse 7.
He rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. A wonderful king was Hezekiah. A revival took place. Then Hezekiah victorious over the Philistines in verse 8. He smote the Philistines, and Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came against Samaria and besieged it. He took it at the end of 3 years, and he did carry away Israel unto Assyria in verse 11. And the reason was, in verse 12, they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, and transgressed his covenant, and didn't do God's commandments. Then Sennacherib invades Judah. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came against the fenced cities of Judah. And so Assyria, after having taken away Israel, they came down south to Judah to take them away also. And Hezekiah sent to the king of Assyria and said, "Why have you put me in this predicament?" And he gave him 300 talents of silver, 30 talents of gold, tried to buy him off, I guess, and pay him. Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house, in verse 15. And he cut off the gold, which is a very sad thing, verse 16, from the doors of the temple of the Lord, and gave it to this wicked king of Assyria, Sennacherib. Then, verse 17, Sennacherib seeks to terrify the defenders of Jerusalem. The king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaras and Rabshakeh from Lachish, verse 17, to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. Tried to take it, tried to capture it, surrounded it, asked, "What confidence is this that thou trustest in verse 19? I have counsel and strength for war, thou sayest. Now on whom dost thou trust, that thou rebellest against me?" These are the emissaries of this wicked king of Assyria. You trust on the bruised reed of Egypt, and so on. And there's nothing in verse 21 to trust there. "And therefore I pray thee, give pledges to my lord, the king of Assyria," verse 23, "and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. But put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and horsemen?" Why do you do that? And so this was the taunt. And then verse 26, the Jewish answer to Rabshakeh and his threats. Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah, and so on, said unto Rabshakeh, "Speak, I pray thee, in the Syrian language, the Syrian language, for we understand it, but don't talk in the Jewish language so that the people hear it on the wall." Well, Rabshakeh's further insolence in verse 27, he said, "Have your master heard these words?" And they would not change to the Syriac language or Syrian language, but kept in the Jews' language. And verse 30, "Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord," these heathen said to the people on the wall. "The Lord will surely," saying, "surely the Lord will deliver us, and the city shall not be delivered in the hand of the king of Assyria." Hearken not to Hezekiah. They fomented rebellion against the king in verse 31, these who were surrounding the city of Jerusalem and surrounding Judah and their kingdom. And he says, "Hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us." Verse 32. Verse 33 says, "Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim and Hena and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand?" In other words, we took Israel, the northern kingdom, and so who are the gods? And so there was the taunts and the terrible words of Rabshakeh. Well, 2 Kings 19, Hezekiah's message to Isaiah. When Hezekiah heard all these taunts and threats, he rent his clothes. He covered himself with sackcloth. He went into the house of the Lord. That's a good place to go when you have a problem, to the house of the Lord, to the very presence of God. Take the problems and burdens of your day and of your hour and of your week, whatever it may be, to the Lord. He sent Eliakim over the household and so on to Isaiah the prophet in verse 2. They said unto him, "Thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and a rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to birth and there is not strength to bring forth." And maybe that the Lord God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, that he is sent to reproach the living God and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. "Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left." So Hezekiah asked the prophet for his prayers. Not his money, not his finances, not his advice, but his prayers to the Lord to undertake. What a tremendous solution this would give to most of our problems as well. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Now Isaiah's answer in verse 6. He said, "Be not afraid. The words which thou hast heard
and the words which your servants heard. Don't be afraid, where the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. Verse 7, I will send a blast upon him. He shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Then Sennacherib defies the God of Hezekiah. Verse 8, so Rabshakeh returned, and he sent messengers unto Hezekiah again. Let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee. Verse 10, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered, and so on, into the hand of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard the kings of Assyria. Have the gods of the nations delivered them? Verse 12, the same line that he said before. And then Hezekiah dwells within and between the cherubims. Thou art the God, even thou alone. Lord, verse 16, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Yes, the Lord can bow down his ear. He can hear us, our pleas, our prayers. If we're on praying ground, if we're trusting Christ as our Savior, if we've accepted him as our Redeemer, if our sins are forgiven by Christ through faith. And they've cast their gods into the fire, and they were no gods, and the work of men's hands. The Lord was a recipient of this prayer. And he said, now, Lord, I beseech thee that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. And he asked God to work in his behalf. And Jehovah's answer is through Isaiah in verse 20. Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah and said, thus saith the Lord, that which thou hast put, as this is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. And he has reproached the living God. And then verse 28 says of this chapter, I will put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come into mine ears, in verse 28. And the remnant of Judah will take root downward, in verse 30, and bear fruit upward. Verse 34, I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for David's sake. Then Jehovah destroys the Assyrian army, verse 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. 185,000. When they rose early in the morning, behold, they were dead corpses, all of them. God worked miraculously and answered a prayer. Then the death of Sennacherib in verse 36, and his son smote him with the sword, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. And then 2 Kings chapter 20, Hezekiah's illness and recovery. In those days Hezekiah was sick unto death. God said, set thine house in order, thou shalt die and not live. And he prayed to the Lord, said, I beseech thee, Lord, remember how I walked before thee in truth of a perfect heart. Done that which was right, and so on. And God said, I've heard thy prayer, and I've seen thy tears, verse 5. And I will heal thee, and I will add 15 years, verse 6, to thy life. And I will defend this city for mine own sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs and put it on there, which he did. And so he did recover. And God listened to his plea in this regard for his health. And he recovered, and what will be the sign? And the shadow on this sundial in verse 9 shall go forward 10 degrees or go backward 10 degrees. He said, let it go back 10 degrees. And God performed that miracle too on the sundial of Ahaz, as it's called. More of this on Hezekiah and his foolishness in our comment tomorrow. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 120 for April the 30th, 2 Kings 20:17 through 23:34. In 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 12, Hezekiah imprudently exposes his treasures to the men of Babylon. And Baradak sent some letters and a present, for he had been sick, in verse 12, to the king of Israel there, or the king of Judah rather. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices. He never should have done that. In Isaiah, in verse 14, the prophet said, where are they come from, these men? And he said, even from Babylon. And what have they seen? Verse 15, Hezekiah said, all the things in mine house have they seen, all the treasures. I have not kept anything back. And Isaiah said, hear the word of the Lord, in verse 17, behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, that which thy fathers have laid up in store, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left. And thy sons shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon, those sons that shall issue from you. In other words, your progeny. Terrible. You should never have showed these things to the wicked king of Babylon. Then the death of Hezekiah, verse 20. He slept with his fathers, and his son reigned in his stead.
And his son was Manasseh. Verse 21, a wicked king. And chapter 21 now, 2 Kings, the ascension and reign of Manasseh and his evil ways. He was 12 years old, verse 1 says, when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But in verse 2, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. After the abominations of the heathen, which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel, he built again the high places that his father Hezekiah, verse 3, had destroyed. He reared up the altars of Baal, made a grove as Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped the host of heaven, served them, built altars to the house of, in the house of the Lord, even, in verse 4, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. He built altars for the host of heaven, in verse 5, in the courts of the house of the Lord. And then verse 6, he made his sons pass through the fire and observed times, used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards, and demonism was his. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord. A graven image he put of the grove that he made in the house of which the Lord said to David, in this house which I have chosen, I will put my name forever. A graven image in God's place. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more. In verse 8, that was the promise, if they observed to do according to all that I commanded them. But they hearkened not, verse 9. And Manasseh seduced them, the Israelites, the children of Judah, the southern kingdom, to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. Then Jehovah's message concerning Manasseh's idolatries in verse 10. The Lord spake by his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, the king of Judah, had done these abominations, had done wickedly above all the Amorites have done, to sin with his idols, therefore I will bring such evil upon Jerusalem that whosoever hears of it, both ears shall tingle, in verse 12. And I will wipe Jerusalem, verse 13, as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it, turning it upside down, because they have done that which was evil, verse 15. I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance. What a terrible promise that God had made because of their sins. And the confusion will be there because they provoked me greatly. Then Manasseh's continued reign and death in verse 16. Manasseh also shed innocent blood very much, till it filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sin of the others. And it's a terrible thing. The innocent blood. This probably the blood of innocent children, probably abortions and killing and murders of babies, like we murder them at the rate of 1.5 million per year here in the United States of America. Terrible sin indeed. Then the reign of Amon over Judah. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign in verse 19. He reigned only 2 years. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord and served idols like his father. He forsook the Lord. Then the death of Amon, the accession of Josiah in verse 23. Josiah, the son of King Amon, reigned in his stead, in verse 26. And then, chapter 22 of 2 Kings, the reign of Josiah. Finally, a good king. Josiah was 8 years old, just a little boy, when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, verse 2. And walked in the way of David his father. He turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And then the repairing of the temple, in verse 3. The 18th year of King Josiah, that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, to the house of the Lord, and go, that he may sum up the silver. He was only 26 years old at this time, the 18th year. He started at 8. And verse 4, he wanted to sum the silver. And so, let them deliver to the hand of the doers of the work various things to improve the house of God. By the way, the prophets prophesying in this time frame were Nahum, Jeremiah, and Zephaniah. Those three prophets. And the carpenters and builders, they dealt faithfully. And then the law of Moses is discovered in verse 8. Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I found a book of the law in the house of the Lord. When they were repairing the house of the Lord with the carpenters, they found God's word, the Old Testament Mosaic law probably in Hebrew. And Shaphan read it before the king in verse 10. And by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 11. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and others, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, for Judah, concerning the words of this book. Because wrath is kindled against us from the Lord, because our fathers have hearkened not unto the words of this book to do according to all that is written therein concerning us. So Hilkiah inquired of the Lord. Then the words of Huldah, the prophetess, in verse 15. She said, thus saith the Lord. Huldah was a prophetess, and that was the messenger the Lord used to tell Josiah God's message. The Lord said, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place. because they have forsaken me, verse 17, and burned incense unto other gods. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire, say, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, verse 19, Josiah's heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place, against the inhabitants. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord, and he would not do it in his time. Thine eyes shall not see all the evil that I will bring upon this place. So Josiah was spared from this. Praise the Lord for that, because he was repentant, and he saw that God's judgment was going to fall. God changes his mind when we repent of our sins. Praise the Lord for his grace and mercy. Then 2 Kings chapter 23, the law read to the people. The king sent, they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up, all the men of Judah with him, the prophets and all the people, small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that they found in the house of God. God's word was read. And we've got to read God's word also, day by day, year by year. Then the king's covenant, verse 3, the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and testimonies, to perform the words of the covenant with all their heart and with all their soul. The people stood to the covenant. Then Josiah's further reformations, at verse 4, he commanded Hilkiah to bring forth out of the temple all the vessels that were made for Baal, and he burned them, and he put down the idolatrous priests in verse 5. And that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, to the moon, the planets, and the host of heaven. Verse 6, he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord, and took it out and burned it, and threw it into the brook Kidron, and stamped it into small powder. Verse 7, he broke down the houses of the Sodomites, the wicked homosexuals and lesbians, and all these perverts that we have plaguing our country and our civilization today. He broke down their houses. And he brought all the priests out of the city of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba and break down the high places. These were false high places that were not to the Lord, but to idols and to Satan. He defiled Tophet, verse 10, in the valley of Hinnom, that no man might make his daughter or son to pass through the fire and kill them and burn them alive unto Moloch. He took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun, in verse 11, and the alders that were at the top chamber of Ahaz, the altars that Manasseh had made in verse 12, and the high places in verse 13, for Chemosh and Ashtaroth and all these other Milcom, and he broke in pieces the images and cut down the groves, and all these reformations he made in order to get right with the Lord and do what God wanted him to do. And then the Passover was kept in verse 21, we see that as well. In verse 21, the king commanded that a Passover be kept, the biggest one they'd had for years, and the workers of the familiar spirits and the wizards, verse 24, and the images and the idols he put away. And like him, verse 25 says, there was no king before him and that turned to the Lord with all his heart, all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose any like him. Tremendous man of God. And the death of Josiah in verse 28, and Jehoahaz, a wicked king, reigned in his stead. More about this in our comment tomorrow. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 121 for May the 1st, 2 Kings 23:35 through 1 Chronicles 1:32.